The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
When it's wet, nasty, 3rd and 9. He's got time. He's got Griffin. Griffin loses the football. It's scooped up by Burnett. Burnett's racing down the sideline, and he is caught from behind. Green Bay can pick up the first at the 1. Ball's on the ground, and Houston appeared to recover it. Nelson lined up to the left, and 2nd and 6. And Rodgers, buying time, throws, and it is caught for the touchdown. Randall Cobb with the catch. Went up top for it, going to the end zone, and it is pulled down for the touchdown by Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin just pushes off. Watch 84. Just pushes, pushes, and gets separation. And Brock Osweiler, he used all 6'7" of his height.
Now, wide open. Wide open for the touchdown. It's Jordy Nelson. He's run hard. Maybe they'll get the carry. Another go inside with Kowski. Carries Texans with him to the end zone. Hopkins to Fuller to Miller. Goes all the way back to Osweiler. Osweiler's in trouble getting knocked down in the end zone. Grimes. And he still has the ball in the air to a lineman. Ball squirts out to Mumphrey, who flings it. And flags are down on the field.
Yeah, forward lateral down.
Illegal forward pass, offense. Penalty is declined. And this is the end of the game.
Without even watching the tape, I already know of a couple plays where it's just we're this close to, you know, having a big play downfield, having a touchdown, an explosive gain, and you know, we're tired of being close. We really are as a team, and we're all able to see it on the film. We see it on the film every single week that we're so close to turning that corner. And you know, shoot, if you guys think you're tired of seeing it, we're tired of living it. But the thing I will say about our football team is nobody ever tucks their head. We always go in on Monday. We watch the film. We're honest with each other, and we strive to get better throughout the week. And that's all you can ask of a football team is to play extremely hard on Sunday, leave everything on the football field, and then go back to work and correct the tape and be honest with yourself in the following week.
Well, it's a dreary day in Houston, especially for the Texans, and now Charles James. Hey, but don't worry, we got lots of positives to get to. It's a Saltgrass Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model. We'll be here shortly. Jong Lee, the master, back in studio keeping us on air. And Voldemort keeping us on air out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a 0, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Monday. We are out here at the Saltgrass in Pearland. And if you are in the area, come on by, hang out. Quentin Demps will be joining us at 5:30 today. We'll be doing the show a little bit early because we are out at 6:30 for Texas A&M basketball. So we'll get a little Aggie basketball action at 6:30. So you've only got 2.5 hours to get your butt out here and enjoy happy hour. You do not want to be driving around today. There's a lot of rain. It's wet. People don't know how to drive anyway. And you get out in this mess, it's going to be worse, right? So just forget about it. Get out here. Get your drink on, or do what I did. I already had the brisket burger, which is fantastic. Probably my favorite thing on the menu. But, yeah, okay, so, Jong, why am I hearing Sean Salisbury in my ears?
I don't know.
I'm hearing Sean. Okay, it's gone now. But already had the brisket burger, great place. And we'll jump onto everything. There's a lot to get to, obviously. Texans not good yesterday, and I have a very strong opinion on what caused it, primarily. We'll get to that. Carlos Beltran re-signs with the Astros on a one-year deal, which I think is a very good pickup for the price. They spent some money here, but it's a short-term investment. It's only 1 year, so if it doesn't work out, if you sign Edward Encarnacion for a big deal for 5 years, you're talking about a 34-year-old that you're signing to a five-year contract. Beltran for 1 year comes into this lineup. I think the lineup has a chance to be very potent. They can just get one more starting pitcher. They're going to be really good. We've got our final four for college football. I think they got that one right, too. But we can debate all of that today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll start with the Texans, though, because I think the one thing that stood out to me, and this is not your typical Green Bay team, that you're going to go in there and you have very little chance of winning against them because they're just going to destroy you. This team has struggled most of the year. They've now won two in a row. But Aaron Rodgers was not 100%. He was not as mobile as he usually is. And I thought the Texans, if they were ever going to go in there and get a game like this, this would have been it. And they weren't able to do it for a lot of reasons. And I think in the end it comes down to some very simple things. I think the play calling on this team is an absolute joke right now, especially on offense. Defensively, I thought they did as good a job as you could expect, considering that Clowney didn't play, considering you lost Jonathan Joseph, and you were on the field a lot. But the offensive play calling has gotten so ridiculously predictable that I was texting a bunch of friends yesterday going, what the hell? Why are they going to run the ball off the right side on first down every single time into the teeth of the defense where everybody's sitting there waiting for them? And it just doesn't work. And suddenly you're looking at second and long. Oh, let's run the ball again. Maybe we get 2 yards. Okay, good job. Now you're looking at third and eight, and you got to throw the football. Brock Osweiler's not very good. We all know that. He's not playing very well, despite all the things he says about how close they are. The reality is they're not really giving him a chance either. They're putting him in third and long situations constantly. Some play action on first down. And even that, though, it might not work because these receivers, they can't get separation. They're not getting open. And when they do, they're lucky to catch the ball. The offense is just a mess right now, and I think that goes back to the actual design of the offense, and it goes back to play calling, and that comes down to Bill O'Brien. And I think if the season continues to spiral out of control, and I'm not seeing any indications right now that it's not going to, they're going to have to consider bringing in a real offensive coordinator next year, somebody who can actually come in and call plays and take that off of O'Brien's plate, because he's obviously not very good at it. And this is what he was sold as. Mr. Quarterback Guru, Mr. Offense, well, he's none of the above. None of the above. And it is frustrating to watch. I'm sure it is for the fans. And I'm sure a lot of you were doing the same thing. You're just looking at you're watching them line up and say, oh, they're going to run the ball to the right side on first down. Well, if you know it, and I know it, Dom Capers and the Packers know it too. And it becomes very, very frustrating. And I get that they're trying to shorten the game. I get that they're trying to keep the Packers off the field, but it doesn't work. And especially when you look at the discrepancy in starting field position, you can't win football games like that. It is the classic, they are playing not to lose. They're not playing to win. And that is a trap that you see a lot of coaches fall into. But inevitably, when you do that, you're just trying to keep the score down. The other team's going to beat you more often than not. And in this case, that's what happened. Be interested to get your thoughts at 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up, of course, at 832 on the text line. Went from, quote, almost team to we're this close team. Progress, question mark. That's the thing. So much of what they're doing isn't progress. You can't look at this team right now and say, hey, they're better than they were in week one. You can look at a lot of other teams and say that, but not the Texans, and that's – yeah, you've lost three in a row now, and AJ and I talked about this a lot. It's when you start off 6-3 and you can't figure out how it is you're winning those games, that's not a good sign. It's not a sign that it's sustainable. And now they're in a position where they can still win the division. They still have it right there in front of them. They've got three of the next four are against division opponents, and mercifully Jacksonville is one of them. But the bottom line is they're going to have to win at Indy this week if they want to win this division. And they may have to win at Tennessee as well, although Tennessee's schedule is pretty tough too. And we'll take a harder look at that probably a little later in the week when we have a lot less to get to than we do today. But I think it was it was not – they basically needed to get one win out of the stretch. They didn't. And now I think they got to go 3-1. And I just don't see anything in this team right now that tells me they can go 3-1. I think if I were a betting man, and I am, 1-3, more likely, 2-2, maybe. But going 3-1 is going to be very difficult for this team down the stretch with their inability to create any kind of offense. And their special teams didn't help yesterday. I don't understand some of the personnel choices that they're making on this team either. And, yeah, I get that you've got injuries, and I get that you're down to a backup tackle. I get that you're down to a backup center on your offensive line. But I think the offensive line really struggled yesterday as well, and that's disappointing because that's a group that they at least been able to patch things together and play pretty well with. But wasn't the case yesterday. And defensively now, that secondary is a real mess. And, of course, if you haven't heard the news, Charles James waived today. Not really surprising, and I don't know that it was anything that he did yesterday, but he really has not added much to this team since he's been back. He struggled in special teams. He struggled in the secondary when he's been out there. Probably not supposed to be out there, but bottom line is if you can't do the job, you got to go. And everybody loves his socks, but we'll see you, Charles. Guess who's here?
Was I supposed to be here on time?
What
you think about, like, what's a reasonable amount of time to get from the Woodlands to Pearland? What? There's no reasonable amount of time.
Well,
2 hours?
I think 2 hours max. I would give myself 2 hours, yeah.
Okay. Well, you would have been about 10 minutes short of correct on that.
Okay.
It's close. Best part? I got rear-ended driving my truck.
Again?
Well, last week, 2 weeks ago, I rear-ended someone.
Yeah, but I mean, you got in another wreck?
It wasn't even a wreck. Well, nothing happened to my truck anyway. Ah. It was one of those things on 45, sitting there, not moving, and you feel that, you don't even really feel it. You just kind of hear it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
a little crunch, maybe you kind of pick up a little bit of a crunch.
I said, did I really just get hit while I'm not even moving? So I get out, and the guy behind me is in like a Nissan Sentra, and he gets out and he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. Younger guy. His car is messed up. Like, it's drivable, but it's sort of crunched in, folded in a little bit.
Yeah.
And the person behind him also ran into him. My truck was just fine, so it didn't slow me down any. I just said, all right, man, you're good. And I got in my truck and drove off. I don't know if that's illegal.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I think if everybody's okay and that there's no damage to your vehicle and it's not your fault, you're probably
you can
okay.
Just go, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought. But
I'm
I mean,
sure,
obviously,
I'm sure we have plenty of police officers out there who can text us and tell us if you did the right thing.
Well, hopefully they don't come over here and get me. But either way, I was glad. It was one of those times I was like, oh, great. My wife is going to be so pissed. My insurance is probably going to drop me.
Yeah, yeah. But, by now, I'm thinking they're looking at you going, this guy's not worth it.
Well, what's great was, like, I have Allstate, and I have the accident forgiveness thing. So
there's no limit on that?
No. Like, that was my first accident that was my fault. So it just kind of – they're like, well, your rate's not going to go up. You're only going to have to pay, like, a small percentage of your deductible. And I was like, oh, that's great, because I feel like I'm in accidents all the time. Fortunately, they're just not very often my fault. So the one time that it was, they're like, you know what? You're all right. But I got to tell you, if I was insuring me, I wouldn't want to do it. Like, my wife said, we got to get you in a bubble or something. Like, I don't know. It's something going on with you. But, you know, again, not my fault. Not my car messed up. So it's all good.
All right. Well, glad you're here. And we'll jump on some of the things.
Yeah, I was hearing you on the way in. And you kind of echoed my opinions on who's to blame with this thing. I'll wait till the break. I don't want to keep you. I don't want to put us over clock already. But yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing that game.
All right, guys. Got to tell you, if you're looking for the perfect gift for somebody who has everything, about Omaha Steaks?
I got Omaha.
You get that that box shows up on your door, man, and it's exciting because there's so much in there. It's a perfect way to avoid the malls, the crowds, and get someone a gift that they are going to love. And we got this package that we're going to tell you about here in a minute, and had a party and basically still had food left over, all for under $50. And it makes a great gift if you want to do something like that. If you just want to give it to people who like steaks, Omaha Steaks for only $49.99. You can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code Fred in the search bar. 77% off. Right now, they're giving an exclusive savings just to the Blitzers. Here's everything that you will get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, a 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free. They're just going to throw that in with everything else you're already getting. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Fred in the search bar, and add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN.
What's the Wi-Fi number? Password, Fred?
The Wi-Fi password?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's Join LSC.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's public, right?
We can give it to the Wi-Fi people.
Yeah. So,
I don't know why it waited this long to ask me, but okay.
So, your thoughts on the Texans, if you will.
My thoughts were the game ends up being relatively close. I mean, the Packers still cover, most likely thanks to a missed extra point, which, you know, there were Texan fans who, when it was 6.5, they bought to 7.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's probably some Texan fans who bought to 7.5 just so they wouldn't get that push, and then he misses that kick, and it's like that's a big middle finger to anybody who bet on that. But the game was relatively close, but as you mentioned coming in, this ain't your daddy's Packers. That team isn't very good, you know, and Aaron Rodgers made a couple decent throws, but that's not a really good Packers team. I mean, that's a 500 team now.
Right.
You were playing a team that was 5-6. This Texans team, we kept thinking maybe we would see progress, and that's what we hope for. That's what you always hope for.
Yeah.
Not only have we not seen progress, and have they not held steady, they've regressed. You know, the rushing game that was so dominant early in the year, it's okay. I mean, Jonathan Grimes was your best running back yesterday.
And why Hunt doesn't see the ball more?
I'll never know. Why Hunt didn't make this team at the beginning of the year, why he doesn't get the ball more, I don't know.
I'm just curious.
He's the one dynamic guy on that offense, and they're like, no, let's not use him. DeAndre Hopkins continues to be meh. He gets a touchdown basically on a play where he lulled them. He lulled them into not covering him because he was a ghost. And he scores a touchdown basically by busting through a prevent defense. And his other big opportunity, he dropped, you know, at a key time. It's just it's frustrating. The fumble early in the game, which what a way to start the game. You know, it's just bad football. And it's not all the players. Most of the players aren't very good, you know. But like you mentioned, you should be getting more out of this. You know,
you have to put your team in a better position to accomplish something, and that's the thing that was frustrating for me yesterday, was just watching the offensive play calling, and knowing it wasn't going to work, and knowing that basically they were putting themselves behind the eight ball
they got him in trouble with field position and everything else and time of possession. And you're just watching this going, come on, man. One play action on first down.
Yes.
One play action.
How about
humor me.
How about throwing on second and long once?
I'd be okay with that.
It doesn't happen, though.
No, but it's just ABC. It's so plain. It's run, throw on third down.
Yeah.
And there's no misdirection in this offense. It's all just very straightforward and bland. And if you don't have the personnel to run it, okay. But you've got to give them an opportunity to do something. And that's just it was hard to watch. And I get that they were trying to be conservative because of the conditions and everything else.
Which, by the way, I mean, who likes watching football like that?
I do. I like
you love that?
I love watching it in the snow, yeah.
I hate it. I mean, I like it. It slows everything down. It makes everything look sloppy. To me, it sucks. Everybody's like, oh, this is the way football was intended to be played. No. In a dome is good with me. Like, I don't need that. I don't need – especially if you're a Texans fan, your offense struggles enough on turf in ideal conditions. The last thing you need to do is add ice, snow, anything that could hurt you. I hated watching that game. I hated watching it. I hated watching it because it was bad football and it was made worse by the bad weather. It just sucked.
I think it was just one bad team and one team that's not very good is what it was.
Maybe so.
I don't think it didn't matter what they were playing, and that was going to be an ugly football game.
And then
I like the one or two weekends a year where you have snow games. I don't want to see them every week, but I like them. I like them a couple times a year.
Jong played at the beginning of the show. He played the audio of Brock Osweiler at the podium saying, "We're really close," which no, you're not. But he said, "All you can ask of a football team is that you try your best, and when you watch the film the next week, you're honest with yourself." And I'm going to disagree on both of those. I think you can ask more. You can ask for more than a good effort, and you can ask for more. And you're not being honest with yourself if you keep saying we're really close, we're even closer than last time. We're getting closer and closer and closer. No. Be honest with yourself and just say, listen, something's going on here. We've got to figure out because we're not good offensively. We're not good. And there's no way.
And you're not getting better. That's the bad part. There's no improvement whatsoever.
I wish that, and I guess we haven't done a show. But we'll have Quentin Dimms here in a little over an hour. We haven't done a show with an offensive guy since Dwayne. So it's been a long time. But I wish that we could have an offensive guy in here one time this year and just say, dude, what's going on? Do you feel great about this offense? Because I can't imagine that Dwayne Brown would look us in the eyes and say, yeah, I feel really good about what we're doing. And that's the one guy on that offense that really is an established player in this league. It has been for a while. I mean, DeAndre has been around 3-4 years now, and he's not playing at a level where, you know, he's going to feel good about things.
Right.
He might be the only guy whose opinion I trust on that matter, because I don't trust Brock Osweiler's opinion, because he's clearly not going to have any problem just blatantly lying. Because
he tried hard.
He
tried hard.
You can't possibly – and guess what? I watched that same film.
All you can ask is that they try.
You're going to watch that film this week, and you're going to say, you know what? We're just not very good. And he's not going to come back next week and say that, but even though that's the truth, is they're just not very good. And it's hard. I understand the conditions made it tough to operate in. And honestly, the Osweiler could have been worse. He's had way worse games than he had. He didn't throw an interception, mostly because a lot of the passes he threw were so far away from anybody that like defenders couldn't get to him, much less his own receivers. I guess that's an improvement. But
sometimes it's good to throw the ball away, AJ.
I guess so. I've become so frustrated. Because it feels like it's Groundhog Day, and every week we're here saying the same thing. You know, they don't. It's not even vanilla offense. It's like flavorless offense. It's like they didn't even add the vanilla flavoring. It's just
vanilla color.
It's like ice. Yeah. I mean, it's like eating ice, not ice cream. Ice flavored ice. It's boring. It's old, and it's not working anymore. You know, when they were 6-3, you could argue that that milquetoast stuff, you could make a case for it because, well, the results say it's working. But now you've literally burned all the progress you made to start this season. You have knocked it down to nothing. And now you've got to figure something out because there's no more cushion. You're tied for the division lead. You're tied, and you've got to play that team again. And right now, Tennessee's playing way better than you. You got to play the Colts at Indy. Right now, Indy's playing way better than you. You've got to be better than what you've been, or you're going to be sitting home for the playoffs, and then you're going to have to face the hard truths about Brock Osweiler. You're going to have to maybe start facing some hard truths about Bill O'Brien, about whether or not this team needs someone else to be calling plays.
I think they need to hire a real offensive coordinator.
I think you're probably right.
I think it's time to do that. Somebody who's going to bring a different perspective and someone with experience, former head coach type, that also can be the guy who replaces him if you get into next year and start off 2-7 and you have to fire the guy.
Well, if you start off 2-7, it's probably because the offense continued to suck, so I don't want to hire that guy anyway.
Probably so.
But it is getting to the point where I don't really know. I don't know what you can. I don't know what you can say. I don't know what they could do that would make me feel better. Because right now, it's unacceptable the level that they're playing at right now. Unacceptable.
All right. Well, at least you have a best friend.
I do. My man's best friend. Listen, you want to. You may be saying my dog is a maniac. I can't deal with this dog anymore. Don't worry about it. Man's best friend will get you covered. And the great news is we've been giving away $250 every month, gift cards to Man's Best Friend. And, a lot of people like to get their kids puppies for Christmas. And if you get a puppy, I promise you, I know from experience, you're going to need to get that dog trained. Otherwise, they will eat your house. And we are giving away those gift cards. And this month only, we're giving away a Christmas puppy weekend package as well. So you got two opportunities to win. You go to ESPN975.com to enter the contest, and, of course, you get 30% off all Man's Best Friend services just by mentioning ESPN Radio or me. Custom dog training class fits your dog, the obedience. They've got protection, dog training. Whatever you want to do, they've got it. If you want to board, they've got air-conditioned kennels. They've got a caring staff, good people. They were founded on the simple premise of creating an environment to help families and dogs lead fun, fulfilling lives together. I love these guys at Man's Best Friend. I've taken three of my dogs to Man's Best Friend, and never once have I walked away feeling like I didn't get my money's worth or like my dog wasn't better for going there. You're going to want to take them in there. Remember, mansbestfriend.com, or stop by and tell them that you heard about them right here on ESPN 97.5. And remember, you'll get 30% off your services just like that. That's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com. I hear the sound of a plane passing by. Someone had the same thoughts as I. But as I get to the end of mine. This is The Blitz. The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll get to the Texans a lot at 5:30 when Quentin gets here, but there's some other stuff that happened this weekend that I would like to get to. And
like Jeff Fisher?
Jeff Fisher getting a two-year okay, from what I understand, this was done before the season, and it's just now coming out.
From what I also understand, Jeff Fisher's agent is either the son or the dad of someone high up in the Rams organization, which is a total conflict of interest, but that's probably why they're still in bed together.
Literally, or just,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their family situation is, but
they may be. But yeah, and then did you see he was trying to challenge something yesterday and he lost his challenge flag?
Yes.
What a winner! But that, and then the Astros getting Carlos Beltran, which I like the signing. A couple people on Twitter were talking, we don't need another old guy. We need to build with youth.
You've got youth. You need youth a couple veterans. Yeah.
And those guys, this is insurance in case Alex Bregman doesn't develop the way you think he's going to develop, or one of your young guys that you're already going to be out there. To me, this is I much prefer this, getting Beltran at age 39 for 1 year, as opposed to spending a whole ton of money on Encarnacion, who's 34 years old, for a five-year deal. And it's a very low-risk thing. If he winds up being a bust, it's just the money that we've been begging them to spend.
Yeah.
And
he very well could be a bust. I mean, he's old now.
He's 39 years old, yeah.
But it's something. If it works out, then it's a good deal. And if you want to look at the Astros as World Series contenders next year, they need a veteran presence.
They do.
And, you know, like a guy who's played in more than one or two meaningful games in his career. And I know Jose Altuve's played in some playoff games, but none of those, like when the Astros team went to the playoffs a couple years ago, I don't know if there was anybody on that team who had playoff experience. I mean, they were all just, you know, new to the party. And you need somebody like that in the locker room. I think it's a good call. I thought that. Do I think Edwin Encarnacion is a better baseball player right now? Yeah, way better. But the risk of signing that guy to a long-term deal, you don't want to get into another Carlos Lee situation. I get that. And I'd much rather spend that money on someone who's 31 than 34.
Right.
You know, next year. You know, so
when they're 31, though, they don't usually become available if they're that good. Most of the time.
Probably not. But you don't have to get an Edwin Encarnacion either.
No.
You just Carlos, need a solid bat.
Get the next Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
And whoever's out there next year.
I don't mind the signing at all. I think the problem with him is, where are you going to play him? Because defensively, he's not the Carlos Beltran that was here before.
No, but he's functional defensively. He can play outfield.
He can, but let me tell you, watching a lot of Yankees games the last couple of years, it ain't pretty.
Yeah, I would suspect he DHs more than anything.
I think so too. But then, what are you doing with Evan Gattis? You know, you've almost. This is why the Beltran thing. While I'm not opposed to it, it still feels like at some point you have to trade away someone for an arm.
Yeah,
and because you've got 11 serviceable bats in your lineup now, and you've got about 3 serviceable arms in your rotation. So you need to figure something out.
Well, they've all but said that they consider Bregman as untouchable as Altuve and Correa.
That's crazy.
I think that's crazy talk, too. But, oh, well.
You see that guy play, what, 30 games?
Yeah.
All right.
But this is one of your projected lineup you could throw out there. Springer leadoff, Bregman second, Altuve batting third, Correa fourth, Beltran fifth, McCann sixth, Reddick, Gurriel, Aoki. That's a pretty good group.
It's a lot better.
Yeah, you've actually got major league hitters at the bottom of the lineup for a change. That's not something they've had. So I like the move. I'm encouraged by it. It also gives you some depth. And now you've got to go get an arm. Because if you go in with Keuchel, McCullers, McHugh, Fires, and Charlie Morton,
That's not a World Series contender, no. And then you've wasted a bunch of money on this offense. To me, right now, the Astros are going with the Rockets method of thinking. Like, we'll just score 100, 130 runs a game, and you know, if they score 125, all right, we're still cool. I don't know if it's going to work in baseball standards, but that's kind of what they're thinking right now, at least the way that roster's built. And
one more arm would make a huge difference.
I think so, too.
Because I like the bullpen the way it is.
And even if you get one more arm, you have to hope on some things. You have to hope that Dallas Keuchel is...
Yeah, he can't be last year's Dallas Keuchel.
No, you can't expect him to be Cy Young Keuchel again, because I think we both agreed at the time this guy was pitching way over his head. And it was great, but I would never expect a season like that again from him. But he can't be as bad as he was last year. And you also have to hope that Lance McCullers comes back healthy and continues to develop so that you're still hoping. And those are your top two guys that you've got a lot of ifs on. And that's not ideal, especially when right now you don't really have a contingency plan.
Yeah, I don't think they're done.
I really don't. I hope they're done spending on offense. I feel like they've done enough.
Yeah.
We get it. You want to score a lot of runs. I get
you're going
that.
To. You're fine.
That's good. The offense looks good. If you lose now, I don't think it's going to be because of the offense. And if it is, it's because you've had several guys show up as tremendous busts. Several. And I almost think it's impossible for every one of the guys that they've added to be busts. The odds that McCann, Beltran, Reddick, Aoki, all of them suck are pretty slim.
Yeah. And even if those guys just give you close to what they did last year, that's an upgrade over what you were getting. And if you're worried about the money, it's barely more than what you were paying Colby Rasmus last year.
Yeah, listen, this team has they've been so low on the payroll scale for so long. I'm not going to say like they shouldn't be spending. They should overpay for a couple guys because you've been getting by on the cheap for a long time. You should be paying for something somewhere. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to say they overspend on anybody, especially on a one-year deal. But when you are making big-time one-year deals, to me that says they believe they're good enough to win now, and I'm still saying with the arms that they have, they're not. So something else still has to happen, I think.
All right. Guys, I got to tell you about my good friends at Bedrock City Comics. And you know what? We were doing that. We were doing the poster contest. I think we had some great entries. I think we have a winner, and I think you guys are going to like it because what we're going to do is we're going to sell that. We're going to have a big signing at the store, and all that money is going to go to the 100 Club, which assists dependents of fallen officers and firefighters. So very happy to be a part of that. And you should be a part of Bedrock City Comics, man. If you are a geek like me, if you're a Game of Thrones geek, if you're a comic book geek, they got you covered. Five great locations around the city: Westheimer, Clear Lake, 1960, Washington Avenue, Sugarland, or you can visit them at bedrockcity.com. And just use promo code ESPN if you buy anything online, or if you go in the store, just tell them promo code ESPN, and they're going to give you 10% off. That's a pretty good deal. 10% off of the purchases. That excludes Golden Age and Silver Age items or items that are on sale. But they've got so many cool things in there. It's just a great place to go and walk in and just browse. And as a friend of mine said, it's like an ADD store. There's so many cool things there, owned by really cool people. And I'm telling you, stick around for the giveaway we're doing tomorrow, the superhero villain performance of the weekend. Code ESPN for 10% off. That's Bedrock City Comic Company, bedrockcity.com.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. Come join us for happy hour until 6:30. The Q Dimp Show starts a little early today at 5:30. Come hang out with us and Quentin Dimp, so he'll be here in just a little bit. And college basketball, Texas A&M versus Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, at 6:30 tonight. We're at Saltgrass, 25 years of perfection, 61 locations and growing. You can book your holiday party with Saltgrass. They can customize your menu for any event. And you can also now enjoy the new handcrafted cocktails made with Liber & Company cocktail syrups as seen on the Billion Dollar Buyer. The pomegranate mojito, Kentucky Smash, or ginger peach lemonade. So all that going on. And happy hour till 7, so you need to get on in here. There's no reason to be running around outside in this mess.
I agree.
You might get rear-ended.
Yeah, dude, I just got a text from my wife. My kid's school bus got rear-ended on the way home. A teenage girl rear-ended this school bus at a stop sign.
Texting.
And the girl's parents had to come pick her up because the car had to be towed. How do you think her week's going to go?
Not good.
Not good.
How do you think how much are their parents' insurance going to go up?
Oh, how do you hit a school bus?
And they're kind of easy to see. They're big and yellow.
Yeah, and they got flashing lights all over.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I were out on that road, I'd get off.
Yeah.
I'd come here.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
I just had the crab cake, too. I tried something new for the first time since I've been doing these shows.
Yeah.
It's called the steak and cake.
I've had that. It's really
good. The crab cake is so good. I'm sad there's only one crab cake. Like I could have eaten three crab cakes. They're amazing. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm all about that brisket burger. That's okay. Like my thing. That's what I had today. All right. Hey, we haven't had a chance to talk about the college football playoff yet.
They got it right.
I think they got it right, too.
I've been arguing with these dummies, these knuckleheads on Twitter all weekend. This is very simple. Everything went the way it needed to go for nothing to change.
Right.
If you really think Penn State, who lost twice, should be in over Ohio State, who lost once.
Tougher schedule.
Played a tougher schedule. I don't understand what's wrong. And they're like, well, they beat them head-to-head. Yeah.
Thanks to a block punt and a block field goal and a total.
I don't care how fluky it was. They did beat them.
They did beat them, but it was still fluky.
Ohio State lost one time. Penn State lost twice. One time, they literally got their bleep pushed in by 40 points against Michigan. And the other time, they lost to Pittsburgh, who's a four-loss ACC team. Pittsburgh lost to North Carolina. They lost to Miami. I mean, I understand Pitt had two good wins. Those were the only two good wins they had. They beat Clemson and they beat Penn State. But it's a four-loss team. So non-conference, Penn State lost to a four-loss Pitt. Ohio State, what'd they do? Oh, they just went to Norman, Oklahoma, and beat the snot out of the Big 12 champions in their house, which pretty much never happens. They lost one game. Penn State lost two. If Ohio State had lost another game, there's obviously an argument to be made to put Penn State in over them. But everybody's like, well, why don't conference championships matter? Why don't head-to-head matter? Those things do matter when resumes are equal. So if you – and everybody's – I tell everyone the most important thing is resume. Here's how you do it. Here's the math on this, Fred, and I tried to simplify this as much as I can.
Can I put this in my notebook?
Write this in your notebook now.
All right.
Anybody who thinks Penn State should be in over Ohio State, the first criteria when you're checking these games, these teams, resume. If the resume is equal, then you look head-to-head if they played. You look at who's the conference champion, and then that's a determining factor. This is like one of those charts where it's like, is it broken? Yes. No. And then you follow it down. What do they call those charts? Like a spider web chart? What's it called? I don't know. Maybe a flow chart. I don't know.
It's a chart.
If resume is not equal, you know what it says in that little circle after you follow the line that says, are resumes equal? Yes. Then you check that head-to-head, all that stuff. You follow the line that says no, it says end of discussion. It's over. Quit trying to make any further case for the team because their resumes aren't equal. They're not the same. You lost two games. I'm sorry. I know you're playing better now. That's great. And by the way, since when does Penn State bitch about going to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, and this is the other thing that this new playoff, which again, to me, We figured out you only need four teams because I don't see an argument for anybody other than the four that they took. I wouldn't make one. But what it does
if we had eight, we'd be arguing over 7 and 8
Oh,
today.
Lord.
We'd be arguing over 7 and 8 today.
We'd be arguing over teams that have no business playing for a championship. We don't need that. We'd be there'd be people arguing for a 3-loss USC team. I don't need that in my life. But this is what this playoff has done, and this is a millennial world we live in, Fred. Two lost teams are boo-hooing because they don't get to play for the national championship in college football. Two lost teams, that's what we've come to now. Oh, we lost two games, we should be able to – no, it's not how it works. For the longest time, if you lose one game, you're in peril. That's what's great about this sport is you've got to go – the regular season, every game – might as well be the Rose Bowl because if you lose it, it's over. You know, for a lot of teams. If you lose once and the rest of your schedule is flawless, you've got a chance. If you lose twice, you've got no room to cry, no room to complain. You lost two times. And everybody's like, well, Penn State has one more win than Ohio State. Why doesn't that count as equal as the loss? Because this is, and again, this is me simpling it down for dummies. If you think a win outweighs a loss in resume in college football, you're an idiot. It doesn't. It doesn't even matter. Nobody looks when you go through the top 25, you go through the rankings. Do you ever look at the first number? No. Everybody just looks at that number on the right column. How many times have you lost this year? 12-3 is not the same as 12-2. It's just not. 11-2 is not the same as 11-1. It's just not. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you. You got, if you're 12-2 and one team is 11-2, then you can argue. But if you're 12-2 and the other team's 11-1, there's no discussion to be had. It's over.
570 says Penn State should be in over Washington, not OSU.
No.
Washington beat no one. Actually, they did. Colorado was number 8 in that thing last week, and they just destroyed them. And I you look at the back end of their schedule. Yeah, they didn't do much out of conference.
But what'd Penn State do out of conference?
Well, that would be my point.
They lost to Pitt.
That would be my point.
And then they beat the AAC champion. Which, by the way, we'll get to that game later, too. But, listen, Washington deserves to be in. And honestly, it's probably crazy to say. I don't care because I don't really think any of those teams have much of a chance to beat Alabama. I think Washington has the best chance of anybody to beat Alabama.
I agree. I actually agree.
They're the only ones they're the only ones who can offer a look that Alabama doesn't just torch. And Ohio State, Clemson, those teams, we know what Alabama's going to do to them.
Yeah.
Washington is an unknown. I don't think they can beat them. I'll take them plus 14 all day.
Yeah.
But I think that Washington is legitimately the only team with even a remote chance to beat Alabama. And I would take Washington over Penn State all day. And you know what? Here's another thing. I write it down in your notebook now. And we always talk about how teams don't get up for bowl games. The one exception to that rule has always been the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal for those teams who get there. USC is going to make love to Penn State. I don't care how good you think Penn State is. That USC team is way more talented. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They're going to beat that team up. You can remember the day that I said that. And then you're going to go, oh, well, maybe Penn State didn't belong in the playoff. Because let me tell you, Penn State ain't that good. Ask Michigan.
At some point, we'll probably have to wait till tomorrow to go through some of the other bowl games because I think there's some interesting matchups. I'll tell you another team that I haven't seen the line yet, but I bet you I'm all over San Diego State against Houston.
Yeah.
When I see that number.
San Diego State's not the same team they were early in the year. I'm guessing they're going to catch a pretty big number.
Yeah. But they've got one of the best college football running backs out there.
Yeah, well.
They can't throw the ball.
The first half Pumphrey is way different than the second half Pumphrey.
Yeah.
But
the competition got a little tougher the second half of the season for him, too, and I think that was part of it.
Is that a huge disappointment for UH?
Actually, no. I think it's kind of a cool bowl for them to go to, get to go to Vegas. But coaching change, everything else, I don't like it. I don't like it. All right, guys, I'll tell you what I do like. The Lone Star Shootout presented by 811. Pac-12 SEC and Big 12 SEC Showdown. Saturday, December 17th at the Toyota Center, you're going to have Texas A&M against number 11 Arizona at 11 a.m. and Texas and Arkansas at 1:30 p.m. Tickets are going fast and start at just $20, and that includes both games. There's also the Fuddruckers Family Pack, which is 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 drinks, and 4 coupons for a free Fuddruckers sandwich for just $99. All tickets are for sale at HoustonToyotaCenter.com or via phone 866-4-HOUTIX. That's 866-446-8849. Arizona is number 16 in the country, and A&M is fresh off an exciting Sweet 16 run last season. UT and Arkansas are renewing an old Southwest Conference rivalry as well. College basketball fans in Houston will be treated to a holiday feast when Texas A&M battles Arizona and Texas plays Arkansas in a nationally televised doubleheader. Arizona, A&M, and Texas have all played in last season's NCAA tournament, while Arkansas is predicted to contend with A&M for the Southeastern Conference title in 2017. That is the Lone Star Shootout.
You're listening. listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.